Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Fox 2 presents Hancock and Kelly.
And good Sunday morning to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Welcome to Hancock and Kelly on Fox 2, where we take on the top issues of the week. On the right, John Hancock.
And a happy St. Patrick's Day to Michael Sean Kelly.
Michael Sean Kelly, happy St. Patrick's Day.
And the top of the morning to all of you.
All right, they got their green ties on. I got Fighting Illini colors.
Hey, now.
I am wearing green shoes, though, right?
All
right, on the agenda, pop singer Olivia Rodrigo makes international news in St. Louis, giving away Plan B birth control pills to fans at her concert here. A backlash has her changing her tune. A form of child marriage is still legal in Missouri. Hundreds of 16 and 17-year-olds are being legally wed. Should that be banned? A win in court for prosecutor Fani Willis in the Georgia election interference case against Donald Trump. But is it really a win? And our quote of the week is from Senator Bernie Sanders, who says America needs to go to a four-day work week. Also, special counsel Robert Hur tells the House Judiciary Committee that he stands by his assessment of President Biden's memory issues and that he did not exonerate the president in a federal documents case. But we begin with the disturbing, even deadly, after-school violence in St. Louis County. Videos of two incidents just days apart went viral, sparking responses from Jefferson City to Washington, D.C. Former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch says there is a solution, a renewed commitment to policing.
It's not a theory. I saw it work. I was in homicide during the crack epidemic in the 90s. I saw it work. We really put a stop to it because it was a combined law enforcement effort to put a stop to it because it was so deadly. We need to have the same kind of initiative here.
Fitch is now a police consultant for departments across the United States. A 14-year-old boy was stabbed and killed after a school fight in Jennings, right after school, not on school property. That was just days after a 15-year-old girl from Hazelwood East was left with brain damage from an after-school fight. There was a moment of silence at the state legislature in Jefferson City for the 14-year-old boy. In Washington, D.C., Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt blamed woke policies of the progressive left. John, the videos are beyond disturbing. Are these just isolated incidents, or do elected leaders need to address this?
Well, it's a symptom of a very sick culture that we have in this country. And, you know, fundamentally, it's a breakdown of the family structure. Parents aren't parenting their kids. These kids are running wild out there. They're committing now increasingly heinous crimes. Tim Fitch is right. There needs to be a greater emphasis on policing. You know, most of these schools, the Hazelwood School District, I'm sure, has law enforcement presence in its buildings on a daily basis. So you would think if there's these kinds of tensions that exist, that there'd be some communication to the police department from the school security officer. But, I mean, they're tragic and they're senseless and they're a sign of a very sick culture that we're living in and experiencing.
In the absence of that family structure, do we turn to the police?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I typically sympathize and agree with Tim Fitch when he talks about the need for more policing in the region. I don't equate the crack problem of the 90s to what's happening in schools. I don't know that sending more police officers to schools are going to fix this problem. But it is kind of telling that we have young people who their first reaction is to turn to violence. That's not uncommon, right? We all saw fights and stuff when we were in high school, but we've never seen anything like we're witnessing here, slamming that head on the thing, bringing a knife. I think there's a larger, societal / mental health type game we should be playing in schools. I don't know that putting more police officers there fixes this.
From 2019 through 2021, more than 230 minors ages 16 to 17 were legally married in Missouri. A woman forced to marry when she was 16 says she was also forced to have children and then not allowed to leave her house after dark.
I was a child having to make adult decisions. I had no one advocating for me or my right to stay a child.
A new bill in the Missouri legislature with both Republican and Democrat sponsors would set the minimum age for getting married in Missouri at 18. Currently, 16 and 17-year-olds can get married, but only with consent of at least one parent and only to someone who is also under age 21. Good idea or government overreach, Michael?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it, especially it's surprising that they haven't passed something like this before. So I'm pleased to see that we're getting rid of childhood marriage in the state of Missouri. We were focused on books for a while. It seems like this is the type of stuff we should be focusing on.
What if you have a 15, 16, 17-year-old mother and maybe marriage is a means of support?
Yeah, so, I don't have strong feelings on this. I think as a general rule, 16 is too young to be getting married. But you have girls getting impregnated at 16 and 17 years old, and should marriage then be an option for them to the father of that baby? I don't know. I mean, these are, you know, difficult circumstances. I think generally it makes sense to have an age limit for marriage, but there could be circumstances where that's not the case.
There's a Republican and Democrat sponsor. Do you get any sense that this is a Democrat versus Republican? No. You know, the outstate Republicans in favor of allowing some child marriage?
You've got a nut or two out there who are going to say that, you know, they shouldn't be infringing. But I think it's pretty much across the board. People see that this just doesn't make sense.
Maybe a slam dunk.
Probably, yeah. But I do, you know, I can see scenarios where a hard and fast law like that would need some kind of a mechanism in it.
For an exception.
Yeah.
Alarm bells grow louder about massive population loss in St. Louis. Census estimates show the city of St. Louis is losing thousands of residents every year, and now St. Louis County is too. The city has lost about 20% of its population in just the past 20 years, more than half of its population in the past 50 years. Why is this important, Michael? And is there any unified vision for getting St. Louis growing again? Can it happen?
There's nothing unified about St. Louis, period. We're such a government that's separated by so many different levels that's, you know, so antiquated and wrong. The real problem here is often when we have these conversations, people want to reflect on the city and they want to say this is a city problem. Sure, the city's losing a lot of problems. St. Louis County's the smallest it's been since 1990. Sure, St. Charles County continues to grow, but not at the rate that we're losing people.
Right.
We have a lot of progressive policies that are being implemented in both the city and the county. People are saying that they're wanting to do this to help African-American families. The stats show that the families that are leaving the region, going to other cities, not relocating to other parts of the region, are African Americans. So maybe it's time to take a step back, reflect on where we're at. The big, most important thing that needs to happen here, though, is whether you live in O'Fallon, Missouri, O'Fallon, Illinois, Webster Groves, or the city of St. Louis, this all matters. What's happening in that city and the crime that's happening in this city that's now spreading out is hurting all of us. And whether or not you believe it affects you long term, you cannot be a suburb to nowhere. And that is where we're headed in this region.
It sort of strikes you every time when you drive into the city limits. The population signs, I believe, are still up from 2010, and they say 319,000.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
000.
It's the opposite of McDonald's, where you know they over a billion served. You know, yeah. We're going the other direction.
They say about 319,000 on the signs. It's actually about 280.
280, yeah.
It's 40,000 less.
Yeah, it's bad. Now there is one bit of good news here. All over this country, Andy, there are St. Louis-themed restaurants and bars popping up in Phoenix and Denver because St. Louisans are moving there, and they're opening St. Louis-themed restaurants. This is a symptom of a very sick community, and we're losing population because the opportunities aren't there. And my kids went to high school here, and I can't begin to tell you how many of their friends have relocated to Denver and Austin and Nashville.
So what's the vision for fixing it? What do we want some elected leader or someone who's running for office to say, this is the St. Louis I see, this is what we're going to be, and this is how we get there?
We need cooperation. And if you listen to some of the leaders from the fringe, whether it be Mark Kern over in Illinois or Steve Aylman in St. Charles, They're benefiting from this population influx. They're the ones who are the loudest saying, hey, long term, this is a problem for us in the region. We can't attract business if we're continuing to watch this city rot. And what it comes down to is the regular push and pull of the St. Louis. And what always wins here is, well, we always do it this way. Well, maybe we need to change the way we've always done things.
You need to have a civic infrastructure that includes business and government and education leaders. And let's look at the assets we have. We're centrally located. We're a ideal distribution hub in this country. We are the nexus of the agribusiness. You know, we need to build that infrastructure. We also have an emerging tech environment here and infrastructure, but I don't sense that there's a lot of cooperation and coordination going on amongst our civic leadership.
Yeah, and the reality is the bones of a big, vibrant city are here.
Right.
It's evaporated a bit. But what's going to take is this is no longer a city problem. This is all of us. And the first thing that's going to need to take place is an acknowledgement that we're all in this together. And I think if people really do some soul searching, we kind of go to our own fiefdoms and think, oh, you know, I only have to deal with that when I go to the ball game. No, this is all of our problem.
We have another congressional race in St. Louis. Journalist and publisher Ray Hartman, who founded the Riverfront Times newspaper and a longtime member of the Donnybrook panel over on Channel 9, is running as a Democrat against longtime Republican St. Louis County Congresswoman Ann Wagner. Hartman also ran St. Louis Magazine. He's been, as I said, a longtime panelist on the PBS political talk show, Donnybrook, one of our faves. The conservative Wagner is seeking a seventh term. Hartman is campaigning as an anti-Trump candidate who will fight to restore abortion rights for Missouri women. Wagner is pro-life. John, the congressional district is in play, according to Hartman. Could it be?
I don't think so. I mean, it's more likely that I will finish 12th in the Boston Marathon this year than Ray Hartman is going to win this congressional. The district's changed. It was redrawn in 2022. It's more Republican than it was. And this will not be targeted by the National Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. So I think Ann Wagner's future is pretty secure here.
Will this be a bellwether for abortion if that's on the ballot also? Could it make it in play?
This
like Ray
is the
says?
Place where we can see the impact of the suburban vote that we continue to talk about. Having said this is a really steep hill for Ray Hartman, except he's a household name. A lot of people know him. Anything's possible, especially in an election where the Republicans and Wagner are clinging on to a politician who's not really well-liked in the suburbs like Donald Trump.
Up next, President Biden's memory issues dominate a congressional hearing, and the Georgia district attorney who's prosecuting Donald Trump gets a courtroom victory. Or does she?
Listen to the podcast. Just search for Hancock and Kelly.
The special counsel who investigated President Biden's mishandling of federal documents stands by his findings during a congressional hearing in which he said the president's memory issues were a factor in recommending that the president not be prosecuted.
My assessment in the report about the relevance of the president's memory was necessary and accurate and fair. Most importantly, what I wrote is what I believe the evidence shows and what I expect jurors would perceive and believe. I did not sanitize my explanation, nor did I disparage the president unfairly.
If you're senile enough and you act as though you're cooperating enough, even your violations of federal criminal law won't be prosecuted.
Robert Herr appeared before the House Judiciary Committee in his report on the documents case. Herr said one of the reasons the president should not be prosecuted was that jurors would essentially pity him as a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Democrats say Herr exonerated the president. He told the committee that was not the case. Still, the president will not be prosecuted here, Michael. But how damaging politically does this Herr report continue to be, along with the hearing now?
They're going to call the president old. I mean, they've been doing that for 4 years. Look, this was a hit job, and this guy was the face of it. He did his job. There's no crime. There is. He said there's potentially a crime here, but I don't think they can push it forward. I think when we are looking at this through the prism of the guy on the other side at 90-plus indictments, there we go.
Are Republicans making too much of this? And what about the hit job?
Well,
is Robert Herr a Republican plant?
Well, he was appointed by Merrick Garland,
right?
Number one. Number two, Joe Biden's mental situation is there for all of us to see on a daily basis. This guy got to interview him over a period of a couple of weeks, and he saw it too. Now, I will say this. First of all, there needs to be, how are these classified documents getting out of secure areas in the first place? That should never happen. But there is a fundamental difference between having documents like Joe Biden did and having hundreds of documents like Donald Trump did and then moving them about when the feds are coming to look for them. And I think that should not be lost in all of this.
A judge has ruled that Fulton County, Georgia, District Attorney Fonnie Willis can stay on in the election interference case against former President Donald Trump. Willis admits that she and Nathan Wade, the special prosecutor she hired to work the Trump case, were lovers. A Trump co-defendant claims it has compromised the case, with Wade being paid top dollar and taking lavish vacations with Fonnie Willis. The judge ruled Willis can stay on the case, but Wade cannot. Congressional Republicans now want to have her appear at a hearing in Washington. Georgia's Republican Governor Brian Kemp just signed a law allowing a state commission to discipline and possibly remove prosecutors. So she is not necessarily in the clear here, John.
No, and I think she may have done irreparable damage to this case. In this case, it's a RICO case, a racketeering case, I think was going to be very hard to prove regardless. What she has done now, and this Nathan Wade guy, he can go out and record "To All the Girls I've Loved Before." He could be like Willie Nelson and Julio Iglesias out there. She's done irreparable harm to this case.
Michael?
Well, Donald Trump can't argue the facts in this case, so he's got to yell bloody blue murder. And guess what? She gave it to him. And this is really unfortunate. This should not be a get-out-of-jail-free card for Donald Trump, and thankfully the judge somewhat agreed to that.
Still to come on Hancock and Kelly, Olivia Rodrigo holds a concert for abortion rights in St. Louis. But she's changing her tune now. And our quote of the week is from Senator Bernie Sanders. How does a four-day work week sound to you? Pop singer Olivia Rodrigo will no longer give out Plan B emergency contraceptives in the wake of conservative backlash after her concert in St. Louis this past week.
You said forever, now I drive alone past your street.
She's donating a portion of her ticket sales to abortion rights groups. She partnered with the Missouri Abortion Fund to pass out Plan B, the so-called morning after pill, to fans who wanted it at her Tuesday night show at Enterprise Center. Conservatives pointed out that Rodrigo potentially made Plan B available to children who are a large part of her fan base. Your thoughts, John?
Well, I mean, this is ridiculous. And we are trivializing, I'm afraid, this abortion issue with the politicization of it. And, these are serious questions about human life, when it begins, at what point it gets protected. Most people are not in favor of abortion on demand for 9 months of pregnancy. And I think we're losing some of the significance of this issue and trivializing it doing things like this.
This is a woman who, her audience, she plays to young girls.
Yeah, but she also is well known where she stands on an issue. If you're going to an Olivia Rodrigo's concert, you're likely going to hear this. And it is serious issues. It's serious to these young women that Republican legislators have blocked access to their own health care. That's what this is really about. People can be mad. This has nothing to do with other than people being educated about what they can do for themselves. And anybody who went to a Rodrigo concert knew full well what they were signing up for. The parents as well.
Our quote of the week is from former presidential candidate, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Sanders is proposing legislation to establish a 32-hour work week as the standard, requiring employers to pay overtime rates beyond 32 hours. That means four 8-hour days compared to 40 hours over 5 days, which we all work now. He says American workers are over 400% more productive than they were in the 1940s, and yet millions are working longer hours for lower wages than they were decades ago. That has got to change. Does it, Michael?
Potentially. I mean, you got to love Bernie. He's always fighting for us. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's call it a day. This can be one of our shortened days.
Isn't that a winning issue?
It just dawned on me, if I don't get a haircut between now and October, I could be Bernie Sanders for Halloween. I think people need to work, and working is a great value in this society. So let's go to work.
But he points out that CEOs are cashing in on all that extra productivity, and not the people who are doing the actual work.
The people that succeed in this culture are people who work very hard.
The biggest positive in what Bernie says is if you watch what's happening with workers' rights and contracts across America, workers are starting to get the benefits. There's a pushback against these CEOs. Whether or not we take a whole day out of the work week, I don't know. But more money and less work time, I think, is on the way.
Final thoughts are next. First, Bomberito.com Drone Fox over the Hill neighborhood in South St. Louis, world renowned for its Italian heritage and awesome food. Final thoughts, Michael?
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you and your family. May the luck of the Irish be with us all in this upcoming year, especially through this election season we're going to live through.
John.
Big congratulations go out this morning to Bai Yulu. She's the new world's snooker champion, world's women's snooker champion, and she's got a 2-year card on the World Championship Tour now.
And today she's
Bai Yulu.
Irish.
Yes.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you. Thanks for being with us. Fox News Sunday is next. And remember, if it's Sunday in St. Louis, it's Hancock and Kelly on Fox 2. We'll see you next week.